be here tonight. And we enjoy to the 628th chapter in your Bible tonight, which is Psalm 150. The only reason I know that is because this Bible has all the chapters numbered from 1 to 1,189. I didn't know what it was at first. It took me several times to figure it out. And I said, I think they've got all the chapters in this Bible numbered. So Psalm 150 is the 628th chapter in your Bible. Now, I guess that's for helping you as you're reading through your Bible. But anyway, there they are numbered. I thought you might find that interesting. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to try to teach the Sunday school this morning. And I took the men through the Word of God concerning the word Amen. It's amazing. I believe 78 times in 73 chapters you find the word Amen in the Bible. And then this morning we looked at Psalm 150 and we learned, if you didn't know it already, most of you probably knew it, the praise the Lord is the same as saying hallelujah. Hallelujah is not a charismatic word. It's not a Pentecostal word. Hallelujah is a Bible word, and there's nothing wrong with using it. Amen. And so let's read these six verses again tonight. And I kind of gave you the introduction this morning, and I got more of a devotional thought tonight. And so you pray for us. Father, add your blessings to the reading of your word. Help us now speak to us, speak through us. Help the heart and life of every individual that's here. And you know what's needed, and we trust you to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible said in Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And did I get that microphone? I forgot about that. I thought about it while I was reading my scripture. I didn't even look to see if the light was on, but I reached down there and clicked it. I got it right there, Brother Mitchell. Thank you. He said I had it. So 13 times we find the word praise, and I don't want to take a lot of time reviewing what we went over this morning, but basically we looked into this psalm, and we know the psalmist is teaching us some things about praising God and about this word hallelujah. John Phillips called this psalm the hallelujah chorus. And thinking about these 13 times the psalmist recorded this word praise, praise him, praise God, praise the Lord, this psalm answers nearly every question about the subject of praise that you could ask. And if you don't believe me, it answers the question, what are we talking about? We're talking about praising God. And that answers the second question, who should be praised? The Lord should be praised. Not you, not I. And it's oftentimes been said, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Him. Once again tonight, we met in the prayer room to do what? To pray to Him, to ask petitions of Him. We came out here in the service and we had the testimony and song for what? In praise to Him, in honor to Him. And so who should be praised? The Lord should be praised. Where should He be praised? He should be praised in His sanctuary, in His house. He should be praised upon this earth. But He should also be praised in the firmament of His power. And I wish somebody could disprove to me that they're not praising God up there in heaven. You'll find out soon enough, amen. What do you suppose they're doing up there in heaven? And the list of names goes on and on. And just recently, a couple of dear preacher men and a lot of Christians have checked out of this life. What are they doing? Well, I guarantee you they're not in a state of non-existence or a state of soul sleep or a place called purgatory. According to the vision that God gave John of the future, they are gathered around the throne, praising God and blessing God and lifting up the name of the Lord. Amen. Just practicing for what we'll do for all eternity. And I ain't going there, though. That's a whole nother subject. But tell me what you think they're doing in heaven. Call me aside after church. Show me from the Bible what the people that are in heaven are doing in heaven. Amen. I believe with all my heart they're praising God according to some things I found this Bible. And so where should God be praised? We should praise Him on this earth. They're praising Him up there. You want to get to feeling close to heaven? Try praising God. Amen. And anyway, why should we praise the Lord? Why is it so important? Why should we praise the Lord? The psalmist gives us two reasons why we should praise the Lord. We should praise Him for His mighty acts, all the things He's done. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to testify all the time about the past. I'm glad I can bring you up to today and say, God's still working. God's still moving. God's still speaking. You look for Him, you can find Him. I heard about a fellow that claimed to be an atheist one time, and he said to a bunch of people, show me where God is. And a little girl been going to Sunday school and learning all the Bible stories that we hear about. She said, where do you not see Him? Show me where He's not. And I don't know about you, but I see God in the birds flying through the air. Have you noticed any of the flowers blooming? I know the other day a bush hogged over a piece of ground, and you ought to see the prettiest yellow flowers. I don't even know what kind of flowers they are. I said, Renee, I planted some flowers for you. Look there on that hillside. I didn't do it. God did it, amen. But I see God in the flowers that bloom. I see God in the everything, amen. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. You want to know more about God and what He's like, read the Bible more, amen. And I like what somebody said, if you want to know more about God, or if you want to know more about this Bible, get better acquainted with its author, amen. And so why should we praise God? We should praise Him for His mighty acts. We should praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And how should we praise the Lord? Well, if you can play an instrument, play it to the glory of God. Use it to praise the Lord with it. Amen. I can't play any kind of instrument. I can't play a percussion instrument, a stringed instrument. I can't play a wind instrument. I wish I could. If I could, I sure would like to praise the Lord with it. You'll think I better just leave some stuff alone. You'll think I'm crazy for saying this, but one of my favorite songs of all time is "The Little Drummer Boy." I always liked that, amen. And he said, I don't have anything and I can't do anything. I can just play my drum and I'll play it for you and I'll praise you with it, amen. And I can play some keys, but I don't have any on me. I've been in services where we didn't have anybody to play the guitar or the piano, so I shook my keys like a Pentecostal shakes a tambourine, amen. And if you get it going just right, some glad morning, you can't hear it right now, some glad morning, we shall see you. If you get happy, you can find you another set and wave them both a little bit, amen. So praise the Lord with any kind and all kinds of musical instruments. And as I was meditating on this psalm and thinking about it, I know the Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible. And if you want to understand something in the Bible that you don't understand, then go to the Bible to help you understand it. And so I'm going down through here and I'm seeing what I read to you tonight. And I understand trumpets and psalteries and harps and timbrels. Praise Him, verse 4. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with dance. I thought, I wonder, how do you praise the Lord by dancing? And I know it speaks of David, how that when they brought the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And that doesn't give you a lot of exposition. It just tells you that David did that. And his wife said, you're acting like a fool. But I thought, well, what does the Bible have to say about this? If you got something better than this, please roll it out to me after service. I just want to understand this a little better. But what does it mean to praise the Lord with dance? Let me just read you what the Bible says. Amen. And this is not unfamiliar to you, but let me just read this to you from the New Testament. This is the best I can come up with on praising the Lord with dance. It's the best I can come up with from the Bible.
And if you have another interpretation, please let me in on it. Acts chapter 3, let me just read it. And I want to just read it to you like the Bible says it. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So here's a man that's never walked. The Bible tells us he's been crippled all of his life. And now Peter reaches down and in Jesus' name lifts him up. His ankle bones receive strength. And the Bible says these words. This man, this crippled man, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. This is the words of the Bible, the exact words, walking and leaping and praising God. I looked those words up just to make sure I understood what they meant. Here's a man that's never walked, but now he's standing up. And now he's walking around. And now he's leaping. And while he's walking around and leaping, he's saying, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" If you got something better on what leaping is, I'd like to know what leaping is. I looked the word leaping up. Amen. You might even find in the definition a little bit of this right here when you look up the word leaping. But he's walking and he's leaping and he's praising God, which we know means hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Look what the Lord did. I can walk. I can walk. I can walk. Praise Him with dance. By whom should the Lord be praised? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Bible has much more to say about this subject. I'm thinking of Psalm 34:1 right now. And I had an old pastor that this probably was not original with him, but he said it often. He said there's really only two times when praising the Lord is right and proper: when you feel like it and when you don't. Amen. Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." We was talking about Brother Roloff a little bit this morning. And not only did I hear him and whoever it was accompanying him on the organ do some singing, but I heard him sing with many of the children's homes. He oftentimes taught them to sing straight scriptures. And I've heard one of them young people's groups oftentimes, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." And on it goes down through there. Well, I thought that's beautiful singing. I had no idea they were singing right out of the Bible. They were singing Psalm 34, blessing the Lord at all times. Amen. As you go through the Bible, You'll find that God's people many times, when they got in a hard place where everything was against them, they just stayed faithful to the Lord, and they just kept praising the Lord, and they just kept thanking the Lord, and God turned their situation around. I'm not going to preach these, but there's a lot of illustration. But what about Job? He lost everything he had. He was one of the richest men, one of the wealthiest men that lived in his day. And he lost all of his children, all of his cattle, as far as I can read, all of his buildings. And one man couldn't come and finish telling the bad news until another came and brought more bad news. Said, "All your animals are gone and all your children's gone." And then his health was taken from him. He was smitten from the top of his head to the sole of his foot with boils. What did he do though? He rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell with his face to the ground. And he said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The end of the book of Job, chapter 42. He got 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. By the way, if you don't know, that's double what he had. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters to start with. Now he's got 14 sons and 6 daughters. Amen. And 7 sons, 3 daughters being with the Lord. And now he's got 7. And then the Lord just blessed him. But he stayed faithful to God through his hard times. He just blessed the Lord anyway. When should you praise the Lord? I'm back on that subject. But, Lord, I ain't making progress on where I was wanting to go tonight. That's all right. I ask the Lord if I need to go some other way, just put it in me and I'll put it out the best I can. Amen. Paul and Silas, they were just doing the will of God. They were doing what the Word of God said to do. They were doing what the Spirit of God said to do. And now they've been arrested and beaten and shackled for doing what was right, for doing what the Lord wanted them to do. And it actually looks like they might lose their life. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. I sure would like to know what thing. Now, John Newton hadn't came along yet. And so, I don't know. But just because John Newton came along and wrote the words down, it don't mean there wasn't some song around called "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." How does that verse go? "Through dangers, toils, and snares." I sure would like to know what they were singing, but it don't matter. You know what they were singing? Whatever it was they were singing, they were praising God with it. They were singing praises to God. Whatever it was, somewhere in there it included, "Bless the name of the Lord! Hallelujah!" Here they are, beat, shackled. They're in a cold, dark, musty dungeon. Looks like they might just die down there, but praise God anyway. You can see that through many of the lives of God's people. You know what God did for them? He turned their situation around. Amen, amen, amen. There's a lot in that right there, but I'm telling you what, the next morning, the flipping jailer was cooking breakfast for everybody. And he was washing their wounds and saying, "Hey, Paul and Silas, tell me how the next verse of that song goes that y'all was singing last night." That man and his household had been saved by the grace of God. They just praised God anyway. You ever get in trouble or get in a hard place or get in a place where you don't know what to do? Have you ever tried just praising the Lord anyway? Have you ever tried thanking the Lord anyway? I believe I read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not always easy to do, but biblical. It didn't say give thanks for everything. Now there's other place that indicates that, but in everything you're going through, in everything, learn how to praise God. Learn how to bless the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I remember I had a time or two in my life when I thought my life was over with. I had a time or two when I really thought I remember one time, I thought I was going to check out. I was a squalling, not because I was sad, I was squalling. I grabbed hold of another preacher's arm and I pulled him down close to me. And I said, looks like I might be checking out of here. And I was squalling, saying, it's been a good life, though. God saved me from hell, and He's let me live for Him longer than I live for the world. I may be checking out of here, but it's been a good life God's gave me. That preacher's with the Lord now. I'm still here. He was actually younger than me, but I said that. Looking him straight in the eye, I thought I was going to leave here. And you know what I said when I heard he went to be the Lord? I can't believe it. He beat me. He beat me to heaven. He did. That's not easy always to have a good attitude and a positive attitude. It's not always easy to have a spirit of praise and thanksgiving. But let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let me give you these and I'll get out of the way. We'll go eat. How important is this thing of praising the Lord? I mean, and what I think don't matter, what you think don't matter. But what kind of emphasis does God put on this subject? Let me share this with you. In your King James Bible, you will find the word praise 248 times. You will find the word praises 29 times. You will find the word praised 26 times. You'll find the word praising 10 times in your Bible. Amen. Let me jump back right quick. Now, I'll be done here in just a couple of minutes. Let me jump back to Acts 3. I want to just read a little farther. Just a little bit here. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And if you don't really believe that he was walking and leaping and praising God, the next verse says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Amen. You remember what that means? Praise God. Hallelujah. And they knew that it was he which sat drums at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. What does Peter do? He takes a good opportunity. And one of the most quoted verses that we use, I believe, is right in here. Well, I'm actually jumping ahead of my... And Peter saw it and answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Amen. It's good preaching, Peter. Let me give you a devotional thought. It consists of 6 points, and I'll try my best not to preach them. I done held you a little too long, I guess. I'm hungry. I want to just tell you, you could come up with a lot of things on this, but I just want to give you a little devotion on why I praise the Lord. Why should God be praised? Let me tell you why I praise the Lord. And my 6 thoughts are taking that word praise. You could use a lot of different things, but I'm going to use P-R-A-I-S-E. Give you a couple of scriptures on each one. I'll try to make minimum comments, and there's a multitude of scriptures for each one of these. Let me tell you why I praise the Lord. He commands it. We saw this morning He deserves it. He desires it. He delights in it. Why don't we do it more often? Why should we praise the Lord? I praise Him when I think about that letter P because of the promises that He's given. All the promises of God. Amen. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen. Amen. And for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. I praise God for His promises. I remember I used to sing a song. I don't sing it anymore. When it comes across my mind, it still comes across my mind. But I used to sing a song, and I thought it was a great song. But it's not right, though, so I quit singing it. I shouldn't even tell you this. I'll have you going around singing it all the time. But I used to sing a song that said, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All are blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. I found out they're not all mine, but there's enough of them that's mine. I ought to be able to change them words somehow just a little bit. Maybe somebody can come up with something and help me where I can keep some. Because the rest of that song's good. Amen. Amen. I don't know. I ain't tried this before. First time I'm trying it out. It don't even sound right, but some of the promises in the book are mine. Amen. Well, that just don't come out right. Thank God for His promises. There's enough for me and there's enough for you. And all what things we draw and glean from His promises. I praise Him for His promises. When I think about that letter R, I praise Him for redemption through the blood. Y'all make a lot of, y'all put a lot of emphasis on the blood around here. Y'all too, amen. Any church that don't put a lot of emphasis on the blood, shame on them, amen. Y'all ought to look and study. I don't have time to take you through it tonight, but y'all ought to look at that word in your Bible, redeem, redeemed, redemption, and redeemer. And look at all those words and where they're used in the Bible. And look at how many times redeemed, redeemer, redeemed, redemption are right there with the blood. Let me give you just two or three right here. You know these, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place. Why? Having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Man. Redemption through the blood. I praise God for that. I'm glad Jesus paid the price for our redemption. Jesus bought our salvation. It's all because of Him. And I sure praise God. And I just gave you three scriptures. There's a multitude how redemption is through the blood. When I think about that letter A, there's a lot of things you could put under that letter A, but can I just simply say, and if the Lord wants me to preach right here, I will, but when I think about that letter A, I can't help but praise God for answering prayers. I don't know who wrote this song or who came up with it, and I probably can't even remember it all, and probably can't get the words all right and all that, but I remember the man that was my pastor when I got married. His wife would make a little gospel music recording every year. Started out on, I guess she probably used to make records. She went way back. And then she made cassette tapes. And then she made CDs. And then the Lord called her out of here. We collected those every year. We'd get everyone when it came out. And we'd ride up and down the road. And she wasn't a songwriter or a composer or a musician. So she had people to play for her. But man, the times we heard her sing, but she used to sing one. God still answers prayer. In His time He'll work a miracle. He will never fail. Satan has lost the battle when to the Lord you humbly bow. God still answers prayer. And I'm glad that is in the present tense. God still answers prayer. I praise the Lord for answering prayer. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I was thinking this evening, as I was thinking, I just had that one verse wrote down under that point, but I thought I sure would like to have another verse, but which one do you pick? And there's so many promises in the Bible that God answers our prayers, that God hears our prayers, so many. And we could mention so many, but I thought about 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, you guess what happens when you ask something according to His will? He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I praise the Lord for answering prayers. I praise the Lord for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I praise the Lord for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I got to quit. It's time to take somebody's medicine. Amen. I don't know if that's what that is or not, but I'm glad the Lord didn't save me and say, now you're not going to hell and you get to go to heaven for eternity. Now make it the best you can. He didn't do that. He, as Preacher Allen put it many times, He became a resident running for president. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. I couldn't kick Him out if I wanted to, and I don't want to, but if I did, I couldn't. I can grieve Him, I can quench Him, I can do many things, but I can't get rid of the Spirit of God that's in me. Because He came to indwell me, Jesus said, forever. He came to take up His abode with me. There's a good Bible word to study. Study that word, abide and abode. Now, you talking about getting happy. I get happy. I don't know if it's in y'all's book, and I probably brought this up some other time when I was here, but people says, what's the matter with you, Brother Ricky? Why are you so happy about all the time? And I say, well, I can't help it. And they'll say, well, why not? And the only best way I know to put it, the song said it like this. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I used to really like that song. One day I realized how many times that word abide and abode was in the Bible, and I went to studying it, and I ain't got time to preach that one to you. But I love this song now. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah! He abides with me. I praise the Lord for the indwelling Holy Spirit. John 14:16-18. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. He shall give you another Comforter. What is this? It's a song book. What is this? It's a song book. This is a song book in my left hand. In my right hand, I have another song book. They don't even have the same number of pages in them. And I bet you none of the songs in them match. I'd be surprised if there's one song in this book that's in this book. There might be now. I could be wrong. I hadn't looked in depth. Most of them's different, and I guarantee you the page numbers are different, but yet this is a song book. This is another song book. It is another of a different kind. Jesus said, and I will pray to the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Another has another meaning. Another can be another of a different kind, but what is in my left hand? What is in my right hand? It's another songbook. Well, how can that be another songbook? You said this was another songbook. This is another songbook too. This is another of a different kind. This is another of the same kind. That's the word Jesus used. He said, I'm going back to the Father, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you like orphan. I'll send you another just like me of the same kind. I'll send you another comforter. We learn later about Jesus. Where is Jesus? He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. What's He doing? Well, primarily He's making intercession for you and me and just waiting on the Father to say, Son, go get your children. And so Jesus is up there in heaven making intercession for us and taking up for us when the accuser of the brethren comes along and all that, and His ministry of the great high priest, and as John called Him, the propitiation for our sins, our advocate, John called Him. We have an advocate with the Father when we sin. He's up there for us. But He sent back to us one to be in us, to abide in us, to indwell us, to... Hallelujah. It's good. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Somebody said, I sure would have liked to have lived back when Jesus was on earth. Well, I would have too, but I sure am glad I'm living now. Because in a sense, Jesus didn't stay with His disciples. In His flesh, He didn't abide with them forever. He left them. They were depressed. They were brokenhearted. They were troubled over it. That's where this message came along. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And just a few verses down in that same passage, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. If you don't know who that is, He explains, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. I sure praise God for the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. What are you praising the Lord for? The indwelling Holy Spirit. How about the strength that only the Lord can give? Let me give you one Old Testament verse, one New Testament verse. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I praise the Lord for strength that only He can give. Strength. I keep reaching for a church hymnal, and there ain't none around here. They probably want to hit up here somewhere. And about all the churches we go in use that old church hymnal. And I'm not faulting you for the book you have in your church. And they ain't none of them 100%. Amen. We'll not go there today. That's another testimony and sermon for another time. But I keep and I'm just so familiar with that songbook, that church hymnal right there. And I really don't need it, because you can almost call any page number in that book out. I'm so familiar with it, I can tell you what song's on the page. Or if you want to call the song title, I'll tell you the page number that you're on. Sometimes I'm off by 100. You call out, I've never been sorry, I'm liable to say 214 when it's on 114. I don't know, they got dyslexia. I don't know what that disease is called if you get off by 100 pages and all that confusion, I reckon. But I'm very familiar with that songbook, and seems to me like there's one in there called Strength in the Lord. There is strength in the Lord. And it may be in some of the other books, but I tell you, there's some strength that only comes from Him. Last of all, I praise the Lord for eternal things. I praise the Lord for eternal things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. I praise the Lord for eternal things. And there's a lot more to this, but let me just say this. We have an eternal God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's give us an eternal word. It's forever settled in heaven. And that eternal God that gave us this eternal word tells us about an eternal Savior who has provided eternal life for us. Now, you've heard this as many times probably as I have. I hadn't heard anything better than what is eternal life. You know who said this many, many times. What is eternal life? It means you're going to live as long as God lives. Who said that? Preacher Allen. Where'd he get it? I don't know, but he's right. Eternal life means you're going to live as long as God lives. We have an eternal God who's given us His eternal word, showing how anyone can receive the gift of eternal life by receiving an eternal Savior. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Lord, I feel like sometimes I get sidetracked and stumble and fumble and make a mess out of things. And I'm so glad tonight for this thing of praising You, for glorifying You. I thank You for the word hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank You, Lord, that You have given us the opportunity to glorify You, to give back to You just a little bit in light of all that You've given for us. And we owe You so much praise. We owe You so much thanksgiving. I thank You for putting in Your word over and over and over again how that we ought to praise You and we ought to glorify and we ought to be thankful unto You. Lord, I pray that You'd forgive me for not praising You as much as I ought to. Lord, I'm so far behind on my praise and thanksgiving. But I pray in the days that You let me remain upon this earth that You'd let me practice praising You, that You'd let me spend more time praising You, that You'd let me spend more time thanking You. Lord, You'd let me help me to understand this thing of praising You and what it means to You, Lord, how important it is for Your people that we praise You. Lord, You put so much emphasis on it. And You exhorted us over and over again in different words. But as the psalmist said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Help us not to be ashamed of saying hallelujah and glory to God. Help us not to be ashamed to use the word amen when somebody's speaking the truth to us. Help us not to be ashamed or afraid or whatever the case might be when we have an opportunity to tell somebody else about You and what You did in our life and what You can do in their life. Lord, help us to be aware of people who need You. Help us to keep our eyes and ears open, searching for opportunities to glorify You, to lift You up, and to praise You among those we come into contact with. Lord, You gave Your all for us, and help us not to hold back. We owe You everything. And I thank once again, Lord, as the songwriter said, and we've heard that church sing so many times, I owe it all to You, Lord. All I have is Yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what You'd have it be. I'm Your child. You're my Father. I'm the clay. You're the potter. Lord, You're the best thing that ever happened to me. Lord, You're the best thing that ever happened to me. Have Your way in the invitation time now. If somebody's here that don't know You, Lord, there's been enough Your word given tonight that they can come to know You. Speak to them, deal with their heart, draw them to Yourself, save them by Your grace. Help one of Your children might be struggling tonight, or help one of them, maybe they're behind on their praise and their thanksgiving, or maybe they've developed a dour and sour, and Lord, I don't know who this was for tonight, but I pray that You'd take it and use it for Your glory. Have Your way in the invitation time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.